No, now it's working. No, it's working now. Oh, great. I've been wanting to call you. And listen, now, bloody races, that's what I don't want to do. Yes. All right, it's recording now. Uncle Dan, where were you born?
Castroville.
In Castroville.
Yeah.
But your parents were living on the ranch at the time, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
And when were you born?
December 6th, 1896.
Now, I'm not very good at arithmetic, so what does that make you now?
82.
82.
Yeah.
Good. So you know a lot about this country, don't you? Do you remember anything about the ranch?
Well, not very much. Well, some of it, we run cattle, on the ranch. But they didn't run as much cattle on the acreage as they do now. We figured about 10 acres
To a cow, huh?
To a cow, yeah. And
it was rough going, I guess, wasn't it?
well, it was. Cattle had a, they had to try to keep them tame, getting rid of the worst ones all the time. There was always fence breakers and stuff like that in there, cattle that kind of got mean.
When did you move to La Crosse?
1913.
How old were you then?
Oh, I'd have to
figure.
You
were a little boy at any rate,
yeah.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah, I was a teenager.
What did Grandpa do when y'all moved here to town?
Well, he sold Ford cars. Had Ford agency.
And later on, you became a mechanic. Is that right?
Yes. in a way, yeah.
Not in a way. I know better than that. When did you get married?
In 1923.
And you married whom?
Tilly Hartman.
From Fredericksburg.
From Fredericksburg, yeah.
Right. You had to go a long way to court, didn't you?
Well, it was kind of far, yeah.
Tell me something about the early cars and about teaching people to drive and all that.
Well, the early drivers, were used to driving a horse and buggy, And after they learned the preliminaries of driving a car and control it, they couldn't keep from saying whoa whenever they stopped.
Did they get it stopped then, or did they go through
yeah,
the garage?
It worked both together.
That's good. I want you to tell me something about the early radios, too, about the crystal sets and all that.
Well, Claude Marty and I built a radio receiver, and we had a 3 lengths of pipe welded together making two posts out of it.
Was that your antenna?
That was the antenna. And there was no broadcasting station in San Antonio. We got St. Louis, though, with one vacuum tube.
Oh, my gosh.
And later on, when they come into San Antonio, we started playing around with these crystals sets. And we could get those, with earphones from San Antonio.
I remember that. Didn't you have one with a horn on it at one time, a radio with a horn on it?
Yeah, that was, I think that was an old RCA or something like that. It had one of these horns on there, they were weird looking outfits if you'd see one now.
They took up quite a bit of room, I remember
yeah.
that. They were run by batteries, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Car batteries.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Car battery or, well, no, they had a, some of the older ones, that one we're talking about with that horn, that was after electricity come in. That run off a current, yeah. The first ones run off a just dry batteries.
Oh, dry cell batteries.
Yeah.
Huh? And can you remember about what year that was? Was that before you went into the Army, or?
It was about 21, 22.
It was, first radio. I remember we got Des Moines, Iowa. There was no station in San Antonio. And you said St. Louis.
Yeah, I think so. That's.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me something about
Kansas City? I think we got Kansas City, too.
Kansas City?
Uh-huh. Of course, it just had to be, the atmosphere just had to be right to get those places.
I know,
most of the time, I didn't get nothing at all.
A lot of static sometimes.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about the railroad? Do you remember anything about the early railroad?
Well, that used to be the pastime to go over and meet the trains when they'd come in. You know, they had a lot of passengers going to Castroville and up in that part of the country that come to La Coste, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, La Coste had a hotel they had run a livery service up there to Castroville, and there's some running down from Castroville, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the fare from La Coste to San Antonio was 75 cents on the railroad.
Right. I used to ride the train going to school, going back and forth to school. In those days, they had a livery to Medina Lake, too, didn't they, when the dam was being built?
Yeah.
I think Pop had.
Yeah, he was in on that mm-hmm. year. Paul Costello.
Mm-hmm. I remember him talking about that. How long did it take to get there?
Up to Medina Lake?
Uh-huh.
Oh, them days you didn't travel but about 20, 25 miles an hour on the most of these roads, they were so rough. Of course, some of them would drive faster, but...
Mm-hmm. How long did it take to get to San Antonio?
About 1 hour.
About an hour?
Yeah.
That's not so bad. Did you go over toward Highway 90 and go in there? Was that graveled, or...?
Yes, that was graveled, and it was awful rough. And... then we could go this lower road, too, the Laredo Road,
mm-hmm.
got over to La Coste from McDonough.
Was that gravel, too, or was
that
it?
That was gravel, yeah.
Top.
And a lot of times there was no gravel. You'd get stuck in the mud hole.
I remember that, too. You couldn't go to San Antonio shopping if there was a cloud in the sky, could you?
No, you better not get on the road.
That's right.
Because, you know, them days, every car had a set of mud chains in the truck, you know, or toolbox. And you get caught in one of these showers or pour down, you had to put on them chains and be hoped that you was lucky enough to get home.
Oh, boy. The cars really didn't have a trunk as we know it. Now they had a toolbox on the back, didn't they?
Well, most of them had a little box under the back seat. And the gasoline tank usually was under the front seat.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Do you remember anything about, you know, when we used to have the old cattle drives through town? Remember when he...
No, I don't. I never was in on that.
Anyway.
There was a big cattle pen here at La Coste, you know, where they'd drive cattle down and load them onto the railroad
mm-hmm.
trains
mm-hmm.
to ship them... wherever, I don't know, these
to the
sheltering pens or marketplaces.
Mm-hmm. I remember him coming by our house when I was a little girl. You know, the cowboy would come ahead and tell you to get the kids off the street and close the windows for the dust. And I thought maybe you remembered some of that.
Well, I don't remember too much of it. I know that they used to bring them in from up, you know,
Rim Medina
along into the upper country.
Mm-hmm.
And they drive them here to La Coste, and from here it's the shipping point. That's the nearest shipping point for them.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me something? Do you remember Grandpa talking about anything about the early days? Can you remember anything about that? Did he ever talk to you about when they first came over, when his daddy came over and when he was young or any of that?
No, I never, don't remember him ever saying much
He didn't
about
have
that.
Time to talk to you about it, did he? Too busy. Grandpa had a Maxwell car. Tell me something about that.
Well, that was after he lost a Ford agent, so, you know, he tried to sell Maxwell. Mm-hmm. He sold quite a few of them. Mm-hmm.
That was a bigger car than the Ford, wasn't it?
A little bit bigger, not mm-hmm. much.
Let me stop. All right, you're going to tell me something about the cotton gins.
There are two cotton gins here. There were.
You don't want to mention the names. Are you afraid you'll get them wrong?
I'm afraid I might get them mixed up. They're both steam powered.
Steam powered.
Yeah.
That's different. Where did the cotton come from? Did they raise a lot of cotton?
They raised the cotton all in the surrounding territory. They used to be a pretty good cotton growing country, you know, until mm-hmm. the boll weevil ruined it.
How did they transport the cotton to La Coste?
Well, mostly by wagon and high-boarded wagons.
Mm-hmm. Did they pick it by hand?
It was mostly picked by hand, yeah. They didn't have any cotton pickers. Or... Mm-hmm.
They had to get out in the field and do it.
Well, the cotton pickers, you know, that come in, you know, in a certain season, you know, and try
they
to get their job.
They were migrant workers.
Yeah, they were migrants.
Mm-hmm. La Coste was quite a thriving community at that time. You had a bakery. I remember the bakery.
Yeah.
And who had that?
El Otto.
El Otto. And he since moved. He moved to Castroville later when they retired, I think. And you mentioned a stone cutter. What was his name?
Miller. Yeah, I don't know his first name.
It seemed an odd place to have a stone cutter. Your cemetery wasn't that big at the time.
Well, he took care of the whole surrounding. He didn't have a very big shop. He just worked in there himself.
I see. And at that time, he had to chisel it all by hand, I suppose.
Yeah.
Huh?
All the chiseling and all of that was done by hand. There was none of this pneumatic hammer stuff that they use now.
And you had a doctor. What was his name?
Dr. Kunz.
Dr. Kunz. And a druggist.
Dickie.
The drugstore was located right across the railroad tracks, wasn't it, on the south side?
Well, it is close to where the restaurant is now.
Mm-hmm. And you were going to tell me something about the hotel, the city hotel.
Well, I don't remember just who run that all that time. There was several families that had it.
Mm-hmm. It was located close to the railroad track, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. You said that, who stayed there mostly? At the hotel.
Well, mostly it was just people that are drummers that come through, you know, that went out to sell different things to stores.
Mm-hmm. How would they get, they had to use the livery then, right, to get to other places
in
Castroville?
Yeah, they hired cars to get
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And even the mail hack that was run at that time with two mules or horses on it, you know, sometimes would carry passengers.
Is that right? Was it a kind of a nice buggy then, or... The mail hack, or?
No, it was a kind of a more or less rough carriage to make to seat people in, carry the mail.
Mm-hmm. How many times did the mail go out, do you remember?
No, I don't.
Probably once a day, huh?
Yeah. Well, I guess mail come in, you know, by the train, you know,
mm-hmm.
them days.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it come in more than once a day.
I remember Grandpa going down to get the newspapers every day from the train. They were probably a day or two old by the time they got here, but New York and San Francisco papers that came through here.
Well, I don't know. He probably bought them over the train. I guess they were pretty...
Pretty current.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you... We haven't said what kind of a railroad goes through here. The name of it.
Well, it's...
Southern Pacific?
Southern Pacific. Little kin to it.
Yeah, that's right. You were telling me that the trains were the main attraction for entertainment.
Yeah. Everybody go up to meet the train.
Okay. Tell me about the girls going to meet the train.
Well, they go up there to wave at the railroad man.
That was kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had a nice depot at the time.
Yes, it was. It had waiting rooms in there. And it, of course, compared to these days, you know, it would have been rough looking. But mm-hmm. then, some days it looked all right.
One of those little yellow jobs with the brown trim, right?
Yeah.
And who was the operator there?
Martin Braden.
What did you call him?
Braden.
I know, but what's
telegrapher.
Telegrapher. Okay. He was a relative of yours, wasn't he?
What?
Isn't he a relative of yours?
Yes, he was. He was a first cousin to my dad.
I see. I forgot to ask you a while ago how many children you and Aunt Tilly have.
Had four. Mm-hmm. Have four.
You have four. Uh-huh. One died in infancy.
Well, that would be five.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what are their names?
The oldest one that died was George.
Mm-hmm.
George Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine. Beatrice. James. Joan.
Mm-hmm. And they're all married, and you have how many grandchildren?
How many?
Aunt Tilly, how many grandchildren?
26.
26. You lost count there.
Yeah.
Do you have any great-grandchildren?
Yes.
Five, I believe.
Six.
Well, you're spreading around. If they were all here, the cost would grow, wouldn't it? Tell me something about when you were a telephone operator.
Well, I had a cot in there, and I could go to sleep, but I had a night alarm that whenever one of the signals would fall, you know, somebody would ring, you know, it was a battery-operated alarm that went off, and I got up to answer the telephone.
You were the first night operator,
is that right? First night operator, yeah.
So it didn't ring unless there was an emergency of some kind, I guess.
Well, it was not supposed to ring, but, you know, sometime, you know, some lady would ring up late at night and want to know where her husband was, and of course, one lady called up one time, she wanted to know where her husband was, and she told me to ring a certain saloon and tell them that they wanted that her husband on long distance. And I had her connected up, and I like to got killed for that.
Oh, boy. But whenever you needed a doctor or anything like that at night, well, you had to locate him, huh?
Yeah.
For babies and all that stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they'd call up and call the doctor, you know. And Wilfred Vernon was operator at Castro at the same time. He called up and complained they got him out one night so many times. He says, why can't those things happen in daytime?
That's a good question. I think they've been wondering that for a long time. When there was an emergency or something, what did y'all do? Like a flood or fire or anything like that?
Well, we had to fight it ourselves. And when the creek got up, we had to move stuff to the higher ground.
Mm-hmm. Did you call people on the phone or anything to warn
no.
them?
No. No, they usually, you know, and could give a general ring, you know, connect the party lines, you know, connect mm-hmm. a bunch of them together, and give a ring, oh, very much longer, just one long ring,
mm-hmm.
and then tell them what happened. They do that sometimes if somebody would die, you know, or... And something else would happen or anything like that, mm-hmm. what they call a general rain.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I suppose there wasn't any local newspaper at the time, was there?
Well, there was no, not everybody had radios and televisions, mm-hmm. so the telephone was about the only thing that you could notify everybody.
Mm-hmm. That was good. Okay, tell me something about the bottling works here. I know you had a...
Well, John L. Messer had a bottling works, and the tapping machine was foot-operated. You know, I had a pedal on there and stick a bottle on there and pull a lever to throw in the syrup and the carbonated water and then kick down on the pedal, and that would put the cap on.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I bet Coca-Cola would like to see an outfit like that, wouldn't
well,
they?
Well, they had Coca-Cola syrup, and they made
Is that right?
What they call Coca-Cola. They had Coca-Cola, Iron Brew, and orange, different flavors.
Is that right? Well, did it feel like our soda water?
Oh, yes, it was carbonated water.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Did they sell it all over or just in the local community?
Well, they usually sold it by case, you know, different places that would sell it, you know.
The grocery stores?
Yes. Well, the grocery stores didn't sell it as much as in the saloons and confectionaries.
Oh, I see. They used to sell ice cream and soda water at the drugstore, didn't they?
Yeah, they used to. They used to have a fountain here at La Coste.
Mm-hmm.
That was something done. That was the first fountain that was ever put in. And they made ice cream sodas, banana splits, and chocolate sundaes.
You're making me hungry.
And pecan, strawberry ice cream.
Oh, wow. That was kind of a hangout for the young people then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. You had all kind of girls there if you bought them a sodi or ice cream. They'd all sit down for you, would you, for that.
There was a lot going on here between the train and the drugstore, wasn't there? Okay, I want you to tell me about the old man who found himself in the river.
Oh.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, he went down to the river to take a swim, and when he got out, he got in his car. He was used to driving a Model T Ford where he relieved the reverse pedal. So he released the clutch, and I think he hit the throttle when he wanted to hit the brake. That old car, gear shift car, went right down over the bank and into the river, and only one corner of the top sticking out. He jumped out on the fender and jumped on the bank.
And you were elected to get it out, huh?
Well, Mr. Louis Biediger, he got him with his blocking tackles. I dove down and got the ropes on it. We got the big blocking tackle, windmill blocking tackle on the front axle, then a smaller blocking tackle on that, and then Paul Christillis tied the rope from the smaller blocking tackle on his car and pulled on it.
Oh my
and out come the car.
Tell me something about the windmill blocking tackle. What is that?
Oh, it was just a big blocking tackle, you know, that they used to raise windmills.
Oh, I see. That's why they called it a windmill.
Rope, yeah. Well, I don't know if they called it a windmill blocking tackle or not. That was about the only thing it was used for them days.
Mm-hmm. To raise a windmill.
Raise a windmill and pull out pipes and stuff like that.
Did you have to operate that by hand?
Most of the time, yes. It was just pulled by hand.
Mm. That must have been pretty hard to get that old car out of there.
It was really rough. It had to be pulled up about a 4-foot straight bank.
You said a while ago he baptized his Maxwell. Didn't
yeah.
He? when was the first newspaper started here?
In 1915.
And who was the editor of that?
John Biediger.
John Biediger.
Senior.
Mm-hmm. John Biediger Senior. And how long was it operated?
It was operated till about 1955.
Okay. It was Was it a daily or a weekly?
Weekly.
Mm-hmm. At that time, there was no other paper. Was there another paper in the county? Was there one in Hondo?
Well, there was one in Hondo.
But there was none in Castroville.
I don't believe there was one in Castroville.
The old Quill was the first one in Castroville.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Quill. Uh-huh. The very first paper in Castroville, I think they called a Rundschau.
Rundschau? Now, yeah. What kind of a name is that?
Well, it's German. Look around.
Oh. who operated that, do you know?
No. That was just
before
a small
your
one.
Time.
Of that.
You were a baby, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, people really look forward to this weekly paper here because it was
about the only amusement they had.
Mm-hmm, their only source. And there were a lot of ads in it, too, weren't there? All the local people put ads in them.
Well, I don't believe there was as many ads in there as in the papers now.
Is that
right? It was usually just mostly for news.
Uh-huh. How did they get their news? Did they have different people reporting in, or...?
That get their news?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there were different people that would write. I don't remember anything too much about any of that.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me about what kind of little plane? There was a little plane that had a wreck. Now tell me about that.
Oh, let's see. I don't know what they called them. Little Chinny, I think. And boys come out here and they caught up with them things. And one fella that, well, they'd go to Medina Dake and drag their tail skid along the water, you know, and one boy come.
Okay.
That was a pretty rough job for 2 bits an hour.
Okay. When this plane had the accident, you had to repair the telephone wires.
Yeah.
How many of them were there, you said?
22.
22. That was a pretty rough job, wasn't it?
It was a rough one.
How much did you get paid?
2 bits an
hour.
2 bits
an hour. Okay, tell us about getting shot.
Oh, got a telephone wire that was putting up across the track and it got in contact with telegraph wire. And I had a hold of a guy wire and that telephone wire and I got a pretty severe shock.
That was bad news.
Scar. It fluttered in the back of them.
They were real heroes. tell us about fixing the wires.
Well, that was quite a job getting them wires across the track and across them telegraph wires. I got me a bad shock out of it when one of them wires was drug across the telegraph wire.
Did you fall down?
Huh?
Did you fall down?
Almost.
That was pretty bad news.